anniversary a couple days ago, and we were just wanted to sing happy anniversary to Shannon and Al this morning. If you guys will sing with us.
Yeah.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. As he said, we're from Wichita, Kansas, and we have another one in our family. He's three, so he's still kind of young, so we don't really like to take him sometimes because he'd be all over the place. I'm going to bring my youngest daughter, Abigail, up. She wants to sing a song this morning.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world, black and yellow, black and white. Jesus loves the children of the world.
Amen.
Jesus loves me. This I know. The Bible tells me so. Little ones here belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
So thankful that we can say this morning that Jesus loves us.
Amen.
No matter where we're at in life.
Thank you.
sing is an original song that I wrote back in 2015. Our son, the one that I was talking about earlier, he's got Chiari 1 malformation, and we found out in 2015 he had it, and we didn't know what it was, and they said, well, it's nothing big, it's nothing to be worried about, you know, it's just gonna affect his motor skills a little bit. Well, we looked more into it, and then we started seeing a lot of the symptoms progress, and you know, I remember one night, I tell this all the time, I remember one night, among many nights, my son was screaming in pain, and my wife was holding him, and he wanted her to hold him, and then he wanted me to hold him, and he was pulling his hair out, and he was in so much pain. And how many knows that you don't want to see your child in pain? You would rather take it yourself. And I remember that night, I cried out to God. I said, God, could you please take my son's pain away? Please, Lord. And I'll be honest, I've been a Christian for a while, but I got kind of upset. And I was like, God, why? Why can't you just relieve him? You know, and God didn't do it. And I remember so vividly that night, God said, I love your son more than you love your son. And I'm telling you right now, there's no better hands to be in than our God. Amen.
Amen.
And it gave me great comfort, great joy, knowing that, man, my son is in God's hands. And, you know, as much as I love my son and I would die for my son and I would do whatever I can for my son, I could never touch how much God loves my son. And God could love him more than I could ever come close to. And God gave me this scripture that I've read so many times in the past, but it really spoke to me where I was at in my life, but it still applies today. And it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Paul asked God three times to take this thorn away. And we can say, well, it was a physical affliction. Maybe it was somebody in his life that was bringing affliction. We just don't know for sure. But the thing of it is that God said, I'm not going to take it away. Whatever you're going through today, you may have been asking God to take it away. And maybe God's not taking it away for a reason. But here's the thing. God says, my grace is sufficient for you. For when you are weak, that's when my power rests upon you, and you are strengthened. And I have, and then it goes on and says, that the glory of God may rest upon me. Man, if we got to go through some storms, guys, for the power and the glory of God to be on us, you know, I think of the scripture where it says that our afflictions, our light afflictions, will mean so much more when we get to heaven. The outcome of this life. This song's called Down on My Knees, because it was down on my knees I spent a long time during this trial, and I found strength in the middle of it.
In the clouds, rolling, my fear began to set.
next song we're going to do is called Praise You in the Storm. It kind of goes along with the Down on My Knees song that I just sang. And, you know, whatever you're going through today, the best thing to do is just praise God after the storm you're going through, because that's sometimes what it takes to get you through it. And if you know the song, sing them with us. If you don't, just listen to the words. Heard it, loved it, and my daughter picked up on the same thing. She loves the song, she loves to sing it. But I'm so thankful that wherever we're at in life, if you are a born-again child of God and God has forgiven you, the Bible says in Psalm 103 verse 12 that God has removed your transgressions as far as the east is from the west.
Amen.
And the amazing thing is, if you go north to south, you eventually run into each other, but when you go east to west, you'll never come together. Okay. And it's, you know, God's thrown your sin in the sea of forgetfulness, and there's a sign that says no fishing. Amen.
Amen.
And this song's called My God Forgets, and my daughter Gracie here, she's going to sing this with me.
Was a life not worth living.
He loves getting up with my youngest daughter and singing Jesus Loves Me. And so, but praise the Lord, we're feeling better. We went through the whole flu deal going on, and we got through that. And I will say and recommend never to drink coffee before you're about to sing, because I'm sitting over there like, my vocal cords are getting constricted right now. I'm getting nervous. No. I'm going to preach a little bit this morning. The bad thing is I had my notes here and I don't know where they went. I don't know if somebody accidentally picked them up. I'm kind of nervous now. Maybe they're mixed up in the papers here, but
let's see if I can find.
Worst thing ever when you're a preacher to get up from your notes and then they're missing. But I do believe in the Spirit of God, and I believe He's here today, and I believe, praise the Lord, He found my notes. Glory to God. There's two more missing. I got like 7 pages a day. Somebody shout it down. No, I'm just joking. I'm just kidding. Okay. All right, now we'll get started. Can somebody shout amen?
Amen.
Somebody can shout amen that it ain't going to take me that long to preach. It might take me about, maybe right now, we're looking at about an hour.
Perfect.
Amen. All right. You guys will turn with me in your Bibles. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Please stand as we read the reverence the Word of God. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself.
Amen.
But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall reap everlasting life. And this is where I'm going to get my text. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Father God, we thank you for this day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you for this turnout, God, that came out today on the Sunday morning. God, we wouldn't let the snow stop them to come to hear from you, Lord. God, I pray today, God, that you will just be glorified and everything said and done. I pray, God, that your anointing would be strong. God, I pray for unction from heaven. God, I pray today, God, that somebody's needs may be met. I pray today that a soul may be saved. God, I pray that addictions may be broken in the name of Jesus. God, I pray for the discouraged, God, that today would be a day of encouragement for them. God, and today, God, more than anything, I pray that you would just be glorified. And God, that you will be pleased with everything said and done. God, let my thoughts be your thoughts and words be your thoughts. Give me clarity, God, today. Let the gospel ring with clarity. And God, I pray that you will crown these altars, God, with victory. In the name of Jesus, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen.
Resolve to faithfulness, well-doing, acting honorably. A man one day was writing the love of his life. Her name was Betty. He wrote, "My dearest Betty, I love you beyond words. Webster does not have in his dictionary the necessary vocabulary to explain the depth of my love for you. Thoughts of you dance across the portals of my mind. You are my all-consuming passion. So enraptured am I regarding my love for you that the Pacific Ocean would be like a pond if I had to swim it. I could do it as long as I knew you were awaiting me on the other shore. The heat of the Sahara Desert would never impede my progress to you, knowing that you would be the oasis that would refresh me when I arrive. There would be no inconvenience I wouldn't endure for you. Climbing Mount Everest would only seem like getting over an anthill if I knew you were at the precipice. All I'm saying to you, my darling, is that I love you and that my love transcends time and space. Signed, Sam. P.S. I'll see you Saturday night if it doesn't rain." Today I'm going to talk to you guys about being faithful. I'm going to talk to you guys about fainting not. The title of my message this morning is "If We Faint Not." And I want you guys to notice that there are three areas that we need to look at as Christians that would keep us from fainting in the Christian life. And the first one I want you guys to notice is that they are committed to God's word. Psalm 119:11 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee." Psalm 119:105 says, "Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." Matthew 4:4, Jesus' own words, "But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." If you want to be effective in souls in soul winning, if you want to be effective in I'm getting tongue twisted. If you want to be effective and grow in the kingdom of heaven,
amen,
you need to be committed to the word of God.
Sorry.
Because how many believe that the word of God is what is quick and sharp? That's what the Bible
amen
says. How many believe that there's power in the word of God?
That's right.
Amen. And as Christians, I feel like we've grown, and I'm not talking about this church. I'm talking about the church down the street. No, I'm talking about Christians in general, like the whole group of Christians all throughout the United States. I feel like we've gotten to the point where we're just so slack in reading God's word and committing and memorizing it. We need to get in the word of God. We need to know this stuff, because when you have temptations that come in your life, how do you fight these temptations? By the word of God.
That's right.
Jesus Christ was tempted in the wilderness and he fought the devil by the word of God. Now, I'm sorry to say this, but if the Son of God had to use the word of God, then what makes us think we don't need to?
That's right.
Amen. If you want to live a victorious life, we got to overcome it by the Word of God. And at our church right now on Wednesday nights, we're going over a course on soul winning and witnessing. And right now, we're kind of taking a break, and we're going through memorization of the Word of God. And my father-in-law, he's the teacher on Wednesday nights, and he was saying last Wednesday, he said, just think if you could memorize one verse 1 week. I mean, that's 7 days to practice a verse, to memorize it. I mean, if you wanted to start out on a memory verse, you can start out with Jesus wept. I mean, that's two words. Is that too much for us to memorize? Jesus wept. But think about this. If you got a memory verse down once a week, that's 52 memory verses that you didn't have before in a year.
Amen.
And it just, breaking it down to that perspective, it just makes you think, man, what are we doing? What am I doing? I mean, I've been guilty of not memorizing scripture as much as I should. You know, we have a Awana's group at our church and program, and they're really well at teaching memory verses. But I feel like, when we get older, we just kind of push that aside. And as Christians, if we want to make a difference in the community around us, we need to know God's word. Because how many knows that people out there are looking for something real? They're looking for Jesus. And the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If somebody wants to have faith, they have to hear the word of God. That's the only thing. The gospel is the only thing that will change somebody.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, we can sing songs all day long. We can do these things and programs. But the thing of it is, it's the word of God. It's the gospel that will change somebody.
Amen.
I heard a story one time that somebody seen a guy on the street, and he wasn't living a Christian life. And he went up to D.L. Moody, and he said, hey, isn't he one of your converts? And D.L. Moody said, yeah, he's one of my converts, because he's not God's convert. I mean, just because somebody says they're converting under preaching doesn't necessarily mean that they're saved. It's a true faith conversion of believing in Jesus Christ. We're not people to try to work something up, because we can tell people all day long, please come down this altar, but you might come down this altar and come down as a sinner that's lost and leave as a sinner that's lost. Only Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God can change somebody, but it takes the Word of God, the gospel, that changes stuff. So we need to be committed to God's Word. But not only do we need to be committed to God's word, we need to be committed to God's work. And this is one thing that I've noticed in several churches that I know. The churches are closing. Doors are closing in the churches today. It's a very sad, scary thing. And there's many reasons for that, but I'm going to give you a few things. Being committed to the work, I will tell you that it would be hard to faint as a Christian if you are committed to the work of God. Because what it takes is for you to kind of get off a track, and then it's just so much harder. I was a youth pastor for years ago, and I always said this. I don't know why, but it always stuck with me. It's a slow fade. How many knows who Casting Crowns is? I love Casting Crowns, one of my favorite bands of all times. They sang a song called Slow Fade. If you guys ever watched that movie, Fireproof, it was in that movie. But how many knows that you don't go from black and white in one day?
That's right.
You don't go to black and white in one day. You're not living the holy Christian life and being on track, and all of a sudden you're so far over here. No, it's a slow fade. It's slowly fading away. You take a step away. And I want you to notice that this is the stuff that will keep you from fainting. These are the things that will cause you to faint. And that is cutting out ministry. Cutting out ministry. Well, we don't need this. Hey, Saturday night prayer service, we don't need it anymore because nobody shows up but a few people. Man, I'm telling you what, when I pastored a youth group, there was times where there was two people that came in there. And you know what? I got discouraged. And I can guarantee you there's a lot of pastors, every pastor, if two or three people come to your church and you're not seeing explosive growth, you start getting a little weary. You start getting a little discouraged. And you're like, man, what's going on in my church? You know, has God really called me to this work? You know, there's many things the devil will put in your head.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember vividly, I said, man, what am I doing wrong? And God just said, you preach to two like you preach to 500.
Amen.
And when you preach to two like you're preaching to 500, I will add to those numbers. And you know what? God did. I'm not saying I had a group 500, but I'm telling you, it grew a little bit.
Amen, brother.
And the fact of it is, it's really not just about numbers. I've seen spiritual growth take place.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of times we put big emphasis on numbers. It's not just about numbers. It's about being effective for the kingdom of heaven. You will faint if you stop working for the Lord. Pulling out for serving other people and serving yourself, you will faint. You know, we should be about everyone, everywhere. You know, it's not just about my church in Wichita, where I go. It's not about this church down the road and just about this church. It's about the kingdom of heaven.
Okay.
And you know, when we stop reaching out and loving people and trying to outdo each other in love, we start to faint because we start getting ourselves and focus on ourselves instead of our neighbor. And I feel like our society has grown so selfish where it's all about me. It's about, hey, why isn't this happening for me? I'm telling you, the devil will wrap you up, and it's a trap so many times, making you get so upset and concerned about your problems in your life, where you are not effective as you could be if you just trust the Lord with what you have. You know, I thought, you know, I'm going to thank God for what I have and trust Him for what I don't have.
Amen.
And at the end of the day, when you trust God, God's got your back. God's got it covered. You might not get it tomorrow, what you need, but God will provide it in His time. But what we need to do is, what can we do for our neighbors that we can love them and outdo them in love, and we can push them toward Christ? Because it's not enough just to talk about how much you love Jesus. It's how you walk. It's how you talk and put your words to action. And, you know, people, I heard Mark Hall. Here we go again, back to Castor Crowns. I heard Mark Hall say this one time. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And that's true. It's exactly true. And we need to be committed to the work. You know, I'm telling you right now, the church won't suffer if people stood up and did more for the work.
That's right.
Amen. We go to some churches where it's sad. The deacon is the only one there. There's no pastor, and the deacon's doing everything. And there's like three people there. And they're still holding on. And they're getting beaten and battered. And they're serving God. And, you know, it's not just, I want you to know wherever you're at in life today, wherever you're at, if you feel like you've kind of gotten off track, you feel like you're slipping a little bit, you're getting weary, you're getting discouraged, maybe you're going through a battle in your life, maybe you're discouraged because you've had this storm, it seems like there's no end to this storm. There's no end in sight. I'm here to tell you today that God is wanting you just to continue to be faithful and trust Him and praise Him, and He will make a way out. Amen?
Amen.
So not only will those keep you from fainting, or will keep you from fainting, people say, I don't know what happened. I'll tell you what happened. You quit that ministry. You quit going on Wednesday nights. Amen?
Yeah.
You slowed down in your involvement. You walked out of that class for a while and you never came back. You know, all it takes is one time just to step out of something. You know, I'll be going to Sunday school every Sunday. I'm going to take a break this Sunday and not come back. And then the next Sunday, I'm just too tired. I'm not going to come back to church. Or I'm going to be at church, but I won't be in Sunday school. And all of a sudden, I don't think we're going to go to church today. And then all of a sudden, it's like, my goodness, you know, we're not going to Sunday nights. We're not going to Sunday mornings. We're not going to Wednesday nights. What's the prayer meeting? I forgot. And you're so far away from God, and you realize, where did it happen? Where did it happen? Where did I go wrong? Where did I step back? I don't remember stepping back anywhere. Yes, you did. You walked out of that class. You walked out of that service. You didn't want to go back to that service. I'm telling you, us as humans, it's so easy. It's so easy just to take one step, and how effective that one step is, it blows my mind. Because it makes it so much easier to kind of step away. And then we get so passive. Then we wonder why we don't have so much power in our lives, in the Christian life. You want more passion? You want more power? I'm telling you right now, you be faithful to God in the little things, and God will bless you with huge things. The Bible says, you know, you've been faithful in little, I'll give you much. And I'm not, I don't believe that's just physical things. I believe that when we're faithful in this life to little things, God's going to be faithful and give us huge things when we're in heaven. I'm telling you, when we get to heaven, God's going to entrust us with huge things. Because if we can't be trusted on this earth with physical things, how's God going to trust us with something that's true riches, like the anointing of God on your life, amen, or power? You know, I say this, I like saying this because I'm a jokester, but some people don't even have the power to blow the fuzz off of a peanut. I'm just being honest. It's because the power of God's not resting upon them. And it's not because of us, but when the Bible says that if we can be vessels of honor, meet for the master's use. What does that mean? It means if you can be an empty vessel and empty yourself out of all the flesh, God will take over. And it's amazing. People get so scared, like, I just can't do this. I can't do this. Well, exactly. You can't do it. You got to have God and the Spirit of God move inside of you to do it. Listen to this. If he's our master, should we not serve him? He said, when I was naked, you clothed me. He said, when I was thirsty, you brought water. When I was hungry, you fed me. They said, when did we feed you? When I was in prison, you came and visited me. When did we visit you? They thought Jesus was crazy. Here's what he's saying. When you have done it to the least of these, you have done it to me. We need to resolve to be faithful. Amen?
Amen.
So not only do we need to be committed to God's word, not only do we need to be committed to the work of God, but we need to be committed to witnessing as well. Amen?
Yes.
We serve a God who is invisible. We serve Jesus who is in heaven. How can I serve him if he isn't here? I'll tell you how you serve Jesus. How many want to know how you serve Jesus? I'll tell you. I serve Jesus by going to the homeless shelter. I serve Jesus by going to the jail. I serve Jesus by working in the nursery. I serve Jesus by visiting. I serve Jesus by investing in lives. I serve Jesus by discipling a young person. I serve Jesus by spending time on the bus route. Little things. You know, we get this so complicated. We think, well, I'm not a preacher. Oh, I'm not a singer. Oh, I'm not a deacon. I'm not an usher. You know what? Praise the Lord for the ones that were here last night cleaning the church. Amen. And I know it's a rotation, and praise the Lord for the other ones that do it. It's amazing. You know, because I've noticed in many years of ministry, the ones that are not in the limelight, they don't get praised. But I'm telling you what, you have something great waiting for you in heaven.
Amen.
God is going to, I'm telling you, God is keeping record. God is not forgetting what you do. God sees it. And not only does God see your good works, God sees the stuff that we do that nobody else sees. God sees everything. And I want to applaud you for serving the Lord, and even if it's in the littlest things, because the littlest things are actually huge things. Because if you weren't cleaning the church, we wouldn't have a clean church today.
That's right.
And it would be effective to people, because people would come in, and there's people, I'm telling you, that will come in and say, oh, this place is trashy. I'm never coming back to church again. It's, hey, that's the truth.
Yep.
That's the world we're living in. And I want to praise the Lord for you. Let me ask you a question. Are you guys going to any of that? Are you doing any of that? Are you serving Jesus even in the little things? I'm telling you, things like this will keep you on track. I'm telling you, it is so hard to get off track when you're busy. I think about David, King David. When kings went out to battle, to fight, where was King David at? I'm just going to take it easy at home because I'm godly and I'm good. And I don't need to go out there. I'll send my best fighters out there, my best warriors, my captains, the army. Well, we find out, and you all know what happened with King David. If you don't, he committed adultery with Bathsheba. He seen her across the way. She was bathing, and the rest was history. But I'm telling you, from that one act, nothing but problems came through his whole family. His death of his children, one of his child. There was rape going on. I mean, just, it was insane. Everything. And just like the scripture says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. So whatever you're doing in life, if you're doing something, you will reap it. It doesn't matter if it's a good thing or a bad thing, you're going to reap it. If you're sowing to the flesh, if you're doing things you know you shouldn't be doing, you're doing things that's ungodly, you're going to reap a harvest. It's just, it may not happen right now. You may be thinking you're getting away with it. You may think your wife don't know about it, your husband don't know about it, your pastor don't know about it, but God knows about it. And God put in a law, it's called harvest. Whatever you sow, it will come up. If you are sowing and doing things for the Lord and sowing and you're working hard for the Lord and you haven't seen no results and you feel like nothing's happening, just wait, because you've sowed something and in God's timing, it's going to reap. You're going to see a harvest. I don't know why I said that wasn't in my nose, but I'll give that one to you for free. I'm just kidding. So, well doing, it means acting honorably. So, a Christian who will not faint is committed to the word, he's committed to the work, and he's committed to witnessing. Let me tell you what I've seen. I've never seen a soul winner that is active ever faint. I haven't. I think of my father-in-law, I tell this all the time. When I met my wife years ago, I thought he was a crazy fanatic. I mean, this guy, he'd go to every restaurant, drive-thru. Can you tell me what the directions? Are you from here? Yeah. Can you tell me how to get to heaven? I mean, he's got tracks, gives out everywhere. Praise the Lord for that. And we went on with him. We did street preaching and stuff and witnessing. And he teaches witnessing courses and classes, kind of help you how to do it. But I'm telling you, it is hard to faint in the Christian life when you are always mindful of lost people. Amen. It's hard. I'm telling you, it is hard because your focus is off of your problems and onto the kingdom of heaven. And if we were to get our focus so much off of our problems and put them on Christ and what God wants to do with us and why God has us where we're at and what he's wanting to use us through it for. We go through storms for reasons. You know, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that God works all things out to them that love God and to them that are called according to his purposes. So whatever you're going through, there's a reason for it. Which is awesome to think, God, why are you doing this in my life? Why are you allowing this to happen? Well, there's a reason for it. You don't know yet right now, probably, but there's a reason. And God uses things. God used my trial with my son for many people. I mean, that song right there has ministered to numerous people, and it wasn't, I mean, I stink at songwriting, and I don't know how in the world I wrote that song, but it was gone. But we need to be focused on witnessing. And by the way, lest you be deceived as to what really qualifies as a soul winner. A soul winner is not somebody that stands down at an altar and waits for somebody to come down the altar and leads them to the Lord. It's not a soul winner. I'm sorry, you may have thought that, but it's not. A soul winner is somebody that goes to a ball game and goes up to somebody and says, hey, do you know Jesus Christ? You know, knocks on the door. Do you know Jesus Christ? Gets the door slammed on, probably. Who knows? But a soul winner goes out of their way to make sure that somebody has accepted Christ or not. And you know, one thing that we've talked about in our church, which is awesome, is, you know, a lot of people are afraid of rejection. A lot of people are afraid, what if they just reject me? Well, the awesome thing about it is all you're supposed to do is deliver the message. If they reject it, it's not on you. But God will be glorified through it. God will bless you for it because you are doing what God told you to do. And what I've noticed is so many times we went to the mall and handed out tracts and told people about Jesus and everything else like this. And we have, there's a lot of times we get rejected, nothing. But all of a sudden, people start showing up to church, lost. God has a way of bringing people. It may not be the way you see it, but when you're faithful and you do what God tells you to do, God will handle the rest. Right. And you know, it's we always want to do things our way. We want to see the fruits, what we do. God, I want to see somebody get saved right now. Yeah. You know, when I started out preaching years ago, and it probably seems like this is my first message I ever preached. It's a snow day.
Amen, brother.
But when I started out preaching, I got so discouraged because people didn't come to the altars. You know, and I guarantee you there's numerous people, preachers that feel that way. But God showed me that it doesn't matter if people come to the altars, because what it's called is seeds being planted and watering, and God does the increase. So, you know, I preached probably numerous times and people never got saved, but they probably went home and got saved. You know, they may have got saved 2-3 years later, but my seed that I planted of the Word of God was watered 2 years later and they got saved. So praise the Lord. Whatever you're doing, when you get to heaven, you get a part of that reward. Even if you didn't see them saved, you're still part of that. You've sowed into that. Amen?
Amen.
So, we need to be soul winners. If all you ever do is eat the fish when they are brought to you, you are not a soul winner. A soul winner is someone who gets pumped up and witnesses to someone at the grocery store, stops and deals with somebody at the ball game, somebody who doesn't miss an opportunity to share the gospel at a drive-through window, like my father-in-law told you. Is it nobody trying to tell everybody about a somebody who can save anybody? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We need a resolve to be faithful. Be not weary in well-doing. Akakio is the word in Greek. It means to lack courage and lose heart. Faint-hearted, to lose drive, not just to get tired. Because when I first heard the word weary, I always thought it's tired, you know? I just feel like I'm getting tired. But it's not just that. According to the Greek, it's to lack courage. You know, you lack courage. You get to the point where in your walk, you feel like you don't have that courage. But here's why, in my closing, why people stop serving God. We need to listen to these symptoms before they get so far. When you start having symptoms like, I just don't want to go to church, you better start checking it out and figure out why you don't want to go to church. Because it's not just that first step, as I said before, that is the ultimate first thing. There's something underlying going on that's causing you to not want to go to church. You know, somebody that's like, I don't want to go to church because I'm too tired. Or I don't want to go to church because it's snowing outside. Or I don't want to go to church because whatever reason. A person that's committed in the Word of God, that's on fire, they want to be around people in church. I've seen new converts get saved, and you can't keep them out of the house of God. It doesn't matter what you do to them. You can tell them, you can beat them down and make all the storms come in their life and everything. They're going to show up to church. Even if they're beaten up and their clothes are hanging off their backs, they're coming to church. I know a guy at my church, he's started a prayer deal night, and he's been saved for about a year now, and he's still on fire for God. And it's crazy how that's probably why people get that mentality. Oh, just give it some time. Just give it some time. Just give it some time. You're on fire now. Just give it some time. Well, that time, people stop reading the Word of God. They stop going to fellowship. We have to come to church for fellowship. You know, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. The Bible says in Hebrews, forsaking ye not the assembly of yourselves together as the manner of some. And the fact of it is that why would you not want to come to church and be encouraged by each and every one of us? I mean, man, if you're going through a hard time during the week, come to church. Yeah. Love on each other. I'm telling you, when you come and get encouraged, it makes you want to keep going. And this has been amazing. My wife and I, we attend, obviously we go to church on Wednesday nights, but we've been attending we went back to Cross Point back in June, and we were starting a church in Hayesville, Kansas for the last year, helping out a pastor buddy of ours. And God called us back to Cross Point. We've been going on Wednesday nights to with her dad teaching, and I'm telling you, there's been times where, you know, people can say, well, it's just a Wednesday night, you know. All we do is sit there, and it's teaching, and it's nobody goes to the altars, and nobody gets saved on Wednesday nights. It's just a Wednesday night. I mean, come on now. You guys, I know somebody in here can relate what I'm saying, but I'm telling you, I've seen when we've opened up testimonies, people start saying something, and some people get up and say, start breaking down, crying. I need prayer. I need help. And people going over there praying over each other, and then all of a sudden somebody else starts crying. And somebody else, and bless God, the Spirit of God is in the place. Yeah. And you know what happens in that 1 hour time? Something that is more effective than the whole week of doing anything. Amen. They are encouraged, ready to come back to church. And you know what? It's crazy. This is crazy for the natural man to think that people would be so obsessed about coming to church. It doesn't matter what you do. Just like that story I told you. P.S. I'll see you Saturday night if it don't rain. That's so many Christians these days. Yeah. We don't, you know, we'll say, man, I love the Lord. I love Jesus. I'm a soul winner. I'm on fire for God. It's raining. I'm staying home. It's a football game. I can't miss that pain. Come on now. Am I preaching or what?
That's right.
And this is the truth. Amen or oh me. So, we need to listen to the sentence.
That's right.
If you're here today, you say that I need strength and I need to get involved. Maybe you have a lost heart and you've lost courage and you want to dedicate yourself today. Maybe you're going through something today and you can say, I don't know when the end's coming. Maybe you have a loved one that's lost. Maybe you're not as close to God as you once were one time. There's a major problem because that is called backsliding. Does anybody want to know what the definition of backsliding is? It's very theologically deep, and it's called stepping back. If you are backsliding today, this is a good time to come use these altars. I mean, these altars is just a great place to come just to meet with God. And I say this everywhere I go. If we're afraid to use these altars in front of the church, what makes us think we're going to do anything in the world?
Right.
If we can't make things right with God around people who love us, we're never going to do anything in front of the world because they don't care about us. Whatever your needs are today, you guys will bow your heads, close your eyes. I'm just going to say, I want you to use this time today to reflect in your life where you're at today. And what can you do to expand the kingdom of heaven? Are you doing everything you can? Do what you can for God's sake, for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to open these altars up for you. If you want to come up here and pray today, if you don't know Jesus as the Lord and Savior of your life, today would be the best day. The Bible says now. It doesn't say today. It says now is the time of salvation. You know if God's speaking to your heart today, if God's speaking to your heart, you know that there may be a way, there may be a possibility that you have not made Jesus the Lord of your life, you're not promised tomorrow. Many people die right by their house just going home. Today, the Spirit of God may be speaking to you. Do not ignore it. Altars are open.
Without you.